Welcome to the premiere episode of Secrets of Stand-Up. On this channel, I intend to...
Nobody cares, just get to the point.
If you want me to get to the point, I will. Bill Burr, his advice was all about commitment. How much are you willing to give? How committed are you to this? How much do you bench? I'm Rich Williams. I'm going to teach you everything I know about stand-up comedy. I know a lot of you are thinking, well, who are you? You're not famous. I've never heard of you. I went on YouTube and I found a black fella named Rich Williams, and he's funny, but...
You talk about black people!
We'll get to who I am. I'll do another episode with all my credits and all that, but it sounds like bragging, and I don't want to kick things off by talking about what I've done, all right? This is just to give me credibility so you'll watch and you'll actually take something from what I'm saying. This is who I am.
Valley.
I like it. We got the breeze coming in through the Cahuenga Pass.
It's great to see you, and it's great to see the damage you've done. Even going back to the Best Dance Sports Show, when I would sit there with Rich Williams.
I was in Joey Diaz's wedding. Now he doesn't return my messages. Anyways, let's get to the advice that Bill Burr gave to me.
Transition. Transition.
It all started back in 1996. The Comedy Works, Glenmont, New York, at a Days Inn. Summertime crowd in the small room. The club owner, Tommy Nicky, the greatest guy. My comedy godfather. He gave me stage time. He helped me out so much. He told me not to look at my watch. This new headliner was coming in for the weekend from Boston. Billy Burr. Bill Burr. Bill Burr.
Bill Burr Baggins.
It was his first weekend headlining, and I was excited. I was always excited to see a new comic and work with a new comic. When he headlined, he was young. He was only, I think, 28. He crushed. I mean, it was a combination of the writing, his energy, the way he put so much into every bit. It was new premises I hadn't heard before. You could just tell. He was ready to bust out. He had a sitcom coming out that fall called Townies, part of an ensemble. So I'm the MC that weekend, and I was relatively new, so I sucked. It was extra bad for me because I looked like him a little bit because we both had like the red hair, and it's like, oh, that's what I would look like if I was funny. Like, it's kind of soul-crushing to have somebody that resembles you that's so damn good. I was bad. I had a couple jokes, and I looked a lot like Bill Clinton, which got me stage time and helped. I could end on a positive note.
God bless you. I appreciate your support.
The voice is so easy to do. I just copied Phil Hartman. I hated doing Clinton, by the way. That's another story. I'll get into it another time. I didn't want to be the Bill Clinton guy.
Bill Burr.
The anger that you would see in his current specials, it was so visceral and like, there's only 50 people there. Imagine that. I got to see that four times. It was crazy. I still remember his face on stage doing an Australian accent. He would do voices and all this stuff. It was wonderful. So I asked him for his advice, and he was kind enough to give it to me. He said, how often do you work out? Like, I don't, what? He's like, if you were going to be a bodybuilder, how often would you lift weights? And I'm just staring at him. How often do you perform right now? I said, every other weekend, 4 shows a weekend, so 8 times a weekend, a month. I was nervous then too. He said to me, if you were a bodybuilder and you were trying to get as big as you could, do you think going to the gym 8 times a month would do it? And I felt embarrassed because he was totally right. And I'm like, oh, this is not good. So I started hitting him with excuses. There's no open mics around here. He goes, there's no open mics? And this was 96. There weren't any comedy open mics. He goes, you got a poetry night? You got a band night? Like, I don't know. He said, go to any open mic you can find. And there was no, the internet was around, but it wasn't like it was now. This was 1996, so everything was through the paper. And the main paper, the Times Union, didn't list open mics. It was a weekly thing called Metroland. So I started searching that, and I found some. It was like a Battle of the Bands one night, and he says, how often do you write? How often are you in your notebook? You got to do it every day. He says to me, I bet this is how you write jokes. Something pops into your head and you think, oh, that's funny. And then you work on it a little bit, you write it down, then you do it on stage. If it works well enough, you keep it in your act. That's what I was doing. I was relying on, hopefully something will just come to my mind full formed and that will be a bit. And I can't believe I did that. There wasn't a lot of instruction back then. There wasn't secrets of stand-up. You're luckier than I was because I didn't have me. Write every day. Perform every night that you can. Do that. No excuses for 6 months straight. At the end of those 6 months, you'll have a sense of whether or not this is for you. And whether or not you're good at it. And then move to New York City or move to LA. And really test how good you are. I did it. I took his advice. I found poetry readings. This place, Cafe Lena. They weren't really receptive. I had to cut out all my dick jokes. So I went to this band... These bands going up and singers. It was so loud at one of these band places that I'm screaming. I'm literally screaming brand new jokes into the mic for people that they're not even there for the bands. They're just there to get drunk and hit on the waitresses. And I remember this guy comes up and he goes, who do you think you are, Sam Kinison? I'm like, no, nobody could hear me. I did what Bill Burr said. I did it. Every night I could, I wrote, I bounced ideas off of people. And here's the part I didn't even anticipate that worked so well. When I would go into these hostile environments, like bars where they weren't paying attention and they wanted a band or whatever, anything that got even a little bit of laughter there, when I would go and MC at the comedy club, it would crush. Or at least it would be good. So it was like trial by fire, kind of the crucible. I would go into all these difficult spots and figure out ways. It was out of necessity that I had to figure out a way to get these people to listen and get them to laugh. At the time, for many years, I thought it was just getting louder or getting faster. Those are a couple of the tricks that comics use. If you speed things up, if you bring it up, louder, a lot of physicality. I wound up learning much later on, working with Jim Gaffigan, and it was not working, like we didn't go on the road together. It was a showcase at the Comedy Store, but just watching everybody, myself included, bomb, and then watching him destroy. But I'll do that in another episode. But yeah, those 6 months... I was immersed in comedy. It's all I would do. I would rent VHSs of specials, watch them over and over again. Because what else was I doing? Going out to drink? Going out to bars? To hang out? To go chase women? I mean, this is what I wanted to do with my life. This was my thing. I wanted to be a comic. And even though I was doing it, I didn't consider myself a comic yet. You know, it's a lot different now. People, they do an open mic and they're a comic. And that's fine. I don't care. But for me personally, I was always more reserved. I would say, yeah, I'm trying it out. People, oh, you're a comic? No, I'm just, I'm going to some open mics. Or no, I'm just emceeing a couple shows. If you want to come out, that's great. I was always hesitant. I still am to say I don't want to blow things up too big. I don't want it to be too out of proportion. And that's been to my own detriment in certain ways. I've never been a good self-promoter. But I'd rather have what I do speak on my behalf and other comics and that. So it's a mixed bag. But let me get back to the story. Did deviate from his advice in two ways, though. Instead of doing it for 6 months in a row, I did it for 8 months. And then instead of immediately moving to New York City or Los Angeles, I was fortunate enough to get booked full-time on the road as a feature act, which was even better for me. I didn't have to worry about doing 8-minute spots in New York City or 3 minutes at an open mic. I was doing a half an hour every show, and I was getting probably 6 or 7 spots every week. I was getting paid. It was phenomenal. 3 years of that, full time. Then I moved to LA. So 6 years have passed since he gave me that advice, and I'm now in Los Angeles, and it was during the week. I remember this specifically because it was kind of a light night, so it was probably on a Tuesday. I walk in there, and Bill Burr's by himself at the bar, all the way over on the right-hand corner where, in the very early days that I was there, there was a jukebox right over to the side of it. I don't know why I just cleared my throat. I can edit this. You know, we both know I can edit this. I'm leaving that in because it's all about authenticity. Bill's sitting there, and I go, I was nervous then because I was like a proud little student, like a little duckling going back up to say, hey, thank you for your advice. It really worked. But and I had a good story to tell him about it. I said, Bill, you probably don't remember me, but you gave me life-changing advice 6 years ago. Had it not been for that kick in the ass, I probably wouldn't be here. It was at the Comedy Works in Albany. I used to do a Bill Clinton impression. He goes, oh, yeah, I kind of remember that. I said, thank you so much, man. That changed my life. You just being kind and also being so funny. Like, I knew to take you seriously, but it changed my life. I didn't have any direction, and I didn't know how to go about it. There weren't courses. There wasn't anything. And he was very nice about it, but he's kind of an introvert, so I could tell it made him uncomfortable. So I kind of let it go. I just said thank you, and then because I'm a comic and I like to bust balls, I did the same routine to him 2 more times. Like, months later, I saw him at the Comedy Store, and I literally beat for beat the exact, hey, you probably don't remember me, but by the third time, he's like, yeah, I get it. I get what you're doing now. At least that's how I remember it. But, yeah, I don't know why, but I wanted to make him uncomfortable because I was so thankful. I wanted him to suffer, but in a good way. Like, I feel like that when I told him how much it changed my life, it made him uncomfortable because he didn't want praise. That was just how he was at the time. He's like, no, this is what you're supposed to do with comics. I'm not doing an impression of him. I can't do that. I haven't practiced it. But it's very much, no, that's how you're supposed to act towards other comics, especially when they ask you for help and you're starting out. I don't want to hear, if you're going to watch this channel and you're going to leave comments and stuff, I don't want to hear any excuses. Maybe the first couple of times, first couple of episodes, but get it in your thick heads now. There's no excuses. I don't have time to write. Yes, you do. You could set aside 20 minutes every day to write. I don't know what to write about. Yeah, you do. But if you don't, I have exercises that I'll teach you if I ever make another one. This has to get enough views for me to keep doing it. Now, imagine if I live my life like that. I'm waiting on you to decide what I'm going to do. No, I'm going to do this regardless because it's my life. This is what I have now. It's my time to give back. So you have 20 minutes minimum that you can write a day. You do that much on social media. Think about how much writing you're already doing. Your little statuses and your captions and your hashtags. Do they still do hashtags? And your x.com? I mean, the amount of work that others do compared to you? Come on. You have OnlyFans models out working you. They're putting more into their career than you are. Every day. Another butthole update. Oh my gosh, we should bleep that. Hey, I'm not going to tell you to quit. You can muddle along as long as you want. I don't care. Other than I want you to do better. But I'm not going to tell you to quit. I would never tell somebody to stop living their dream. That's such a dick thing to do. Oh, I see these people. They're not funny. So what? It's none of your business. Mind your own business. Either help or get out of the way.
Well, if they're willing to quit because I told them to quit, then they shouldn't be doing it.
That's not for you to decide, okay? That's like going up to a crippled person and telling them, don't ever try to walk again. It doesn't matter what the doctor says. You stop right now because I'm the walking determinator. I will make that determination. Well, fucking. Hey, the baby, the six-month-old fucking kid, listen to me. Told him to stop trying to walk. Sure as shit, he stopped. You should see his little legs now. He's not going to be able to walk now, even if he tried. Let's wrap this up here. I had a point. You have to go for it. It's not hard work. It's not hard.
Dénouement. Dénouement.
God, what a fun Friday night I had just doing this. Even if none of you, if nobody watches this, it's all right. Because I did it. And I've been putting this off for a long time. Trying to get it perfect because I want to be seen a certain way. And then you realize, like, first of all, nobody cares. Second of all, they're looking at it from a different perspective than you are. Even your friends, if they do watch it, they know who you are. So they're going to know if you're faking it and trying to be cool. Even your acquaintances, and they just want you to be happy. And most people aren't going to watch this anyways. They don't have the time, or they're busy with their own things. So they're working on their own stuff. Or they like you, but they don't like comedy, all right? They don't want to get into watching a whole video about that. But yeah, thank you whoever did watch, and I'm going to keep making these. See ya. Bye.
Yes! Positive energy. Feeling good.